is Distributions Room Number 2. We're now going to have a talk on Spacewalk, from Marcus Müller and Sandro Mattis. Am I pronouncing their names right? Both are Linux engineers from Zurich and heavily involved in the Fedora project.
Woo!
But this is going to... Life flames, fun. These guys are going to talk about an application, Spacewalk, for a series of applications, and I leave it there.
So my name is Max Müller, as announced before. I'm working for the ETA in Zurich, and we're currently actively working with Spacewalk and Satellite Server. Spacewalk is a free and open source lifecycle management tool for Linux distributions. First of all, I want to give you this thing works. Modern technology. Okay, just press space, that works always. So, we're going to talk about. I want to talk about Spacewalk, as mentioned before. Spacewalk, what is Spacewalk? Spacewalk is a community-driven lifecycle management tool. Some of you may already know what a lifecycle management tool is. Some of you don't. I'm going to explain the complete lifecycle management circle later. But before that, I want to show you what Spacewalk is. Spacewalk is upstream for a product from Red Hat. This product is called Red Hat Network Satellite Server. It's a commercial product from Red Hat, which exists for quite a while and is established in quite a lot of enterprise environments. Back in 2008, Red Hat decided to make this product open source tool. Red Hat has a strategy to make nearly all the parts they are actively developing on open source. So every one of us can benefit from this process. So since 2008, a new project has been started. This project is called Spacewalk. So you may wonder what it is. I may call it is one wing to more than more, because you can handle all that task with that tool. So let's take a look at the lifecycle management process now. Here you see a little graphic, and it shows you how it works. First of all, it's the provisioning process. I'm going to explain it in detail later. A machine has to be provisioned, a machine has to be managed in form of configuration, in form of software. And a machine has to be monitored, because you want to know the health of your machines. Another task is to reprovision or to update existing systems. You know, distributions with quite a short life cycle, like Fedora is, and you want to find a way how to maintain these distributions. You have few options. One option is to use a configuration management tool like Puppet or something like that. Another option is to use plain kickstart files for deploying that. And I think the best option is to have an integrated tool to handle all that tasks for you. First of all, there was provisioning. Provisioning in Red Hat words is kickstarting a system. Other distributions have other tools for processing these steps. It's called kickstarting, and it's already adapted to, I guess it's even possible for Ubuntu or something like that. We have a wizard to create these kickstart profiles. I'm going to show you that later. In the backend, we use Cobbler for PXE automatization. What we want is to deploy a system straight out of the box. We want to have a ready-to-run system, which is automatically integrated into the lifecycle management tool and works with it fine. Kotlin also supports snippets. Snippets are parts within the Kickstart file that can be rendered during Kickstart process. These snippets can contain macros or things like that, which may contain system information, individual information which can be used later for things like monitoring. One of the components of Kotlin is called Cheetah. Okay, what a strange name. Cheetah is a verification tool. It verifies the integrity of your Kickstart files. You can already upload Kickstart files into the system. You can point and click all the components that are available in the Kickstart profiles. I'm going to show you that later. And Cheetah verifies it for you. So you can really do nothing wrong. So the next part, what happens after the provisioning process? One really important thing is that you want to manage the software on your machine. You want to deploy updates, it's called in Red Hat words, erratas, in form of updates and notification messages. You want to manage a number of systems, not only one. You want to select a few systems, you want to group systems together and manage these on one single click, or maybe even a shell command. You can do all that with the software management component of the Spacewalk server. The software management component abstracts things like repositories to so-called channels. Channels can be subscribed by system. So system can have access to the associated channels and automatically install the software that is given in the Kickstart profile or even later. You can schedule a software install, for example, on 100 machines with about 2 or 3 clicks away. One nice feature that most of the components of Spacewalk have is snapshot and rollback functionality. So if you do something wrong, or mistake happened, or even the system broke down during the provisioning or management process, you can repeat that, simply repeat that, or roll it back. So you can always have a really defined state, and this state is definitely reliable. Can you go to the next thing is, and that's the most controversial thing of this Spacewalk server. The next thing is the configuration manager. I always discuss with people who prefer things like Puppet or even Thief Engine or other tools. Spacewalk has a different approach concerning configuration management. It tries to keep things flat and simple. And this is the difference. It can't be the right tool for every case. In some cases, Puppet might be a better choice. But in most cases, this is even more than enough. The files are version controlled. So you can simply upload a new version of a configuration file. You can access the history of the file. You can create diffs via GUI, via shell. And within the configuration files, things like macros can also be used. So, for example, you want to deploy a configuration file with the host name set in. Simply add within this configuration file the macro for host name or P information, and it's automatically rendered during deployment of the configuration file. The next thing is, what happens if you, for example, deploy a configuration file for your web server, Apache, for example? You need to restart it or reload gracefully the service. You can do this with remote commands. Remote commands are handled with Spacewalk with a backend called OZERT. OZERT uses, at the moment, Java for communication. There's a jump communication between the client, maybe a proxy which can be set in between, and the Spacewalk server. During this communication, remote commands can be pushed to the client and then executed. So you can simply execute a remote command after config file deployment that gracefully reloads your Apache web server. One nice feature is sandboxing, so you can take one or two of your machines from your group and try to deploy change configuration files to these two machines to see how they still behave and if they still behave like you have expected. If so, you can move the files from the sandbox to the real world config management system and apply it to the other boxes. It makes QA quite more easy. As in the software management, even configuration management supports snapshots and rollbacks. So you can do nearly nothing wrong, of course. And another component of the Spacewalk server, which we will be seeing later, is the monitoring functionality. Red Hat has bought, a few years ago, has bought a company which developed NogPulse. NogPulse is a monitoring solution similar to solutions like Nagios or Zedix or something like that. It's not that powerful, but it's quite okay. You can create probe suites, and within these probe suites, you can check the status of your system. You can create service state probes. You can create port state probes that you can simply monitor if your web server is still reachable through port 80 or 443 or something. You can also define system state probes, which will tell you, for example, the disk or memory usage of your system. This can be shown in graphical output. So it generates graphs, it generates reports, which can be downloaded in CSV files or something like that. It has an integrated alerting functionality, which supports email alerts, so you're always informed about the state of your systems. So the last part of this life cycle may be reprovisioning. It's not said that you have to reprovision a system, but what if a system has been hijacked? What if a system, one of your systems has been compromised? And you now got the update that fixes the security hole, which has been used for compromisation. You can easily redeploy your system with this new update, which fixes the security hole, to the predefined state where it was before. And there are other scenarios, as mentioned before. You can update from one distribution release to another. For example, we have Fedora's release 11, and you want to upgrade it to release 12. But you want to keep your system history. You want to keep the package profiles in sync. You want to have the new system exactly the same package set installed. And you want to have the same configuration files. You can simply reprovision this system to a new distribution state. As you can select kickstart files in which you want to provision. This process uses an open source tool called Cone. It's part of the Cobbler project. And it supports PXE and it supports grub for reprovisioning the system. As mentioned, the initial process of provisioning the system is normally done via PXE or via Cobbler boot easily. The reprovisioning process does not need PXE anymore. It supports it, but it does not need it. It simply adds an entry to your grub menu and boots into it if you want to. Then it starts the kickstart process and selects the profile you have defined in the user interface. You can sync package profiles to your system so it behaves as before, or you can sync your package profiles to different systems. So you want to make a system look like another one, you can simply sync this package profile to keep them in state. Reprovisioning can be scheduled. So you can set this evening or this night, I want to reinstall all my machines. That's 10 o'clock, or you can even group that. You can set 30 machines at 10 and 20 machines at 11 or so. One major aspect, at least for QA and for ISO and ELTIS and things like that, is keeping history. So you know what your system, what has happened to your system. Everything, every step that has happened to your system is documented in the history. You can just browse it, view it, and the new system is still associated, the reprovision system is still associated with its old history. So you can always match what happened in the past. So last I want to tell you a bit about the project strategy before I show you how it looks like, because if you see it, you can imagine what I'm talking about. As always, it's a Red Hat project, and similar to Fedora, it contains the latest and the greatest technology. There's a very short release cycle. You can expect new releases every 3 to 6 months. So if you want to work with Spacewalk in the future, you have to think about that, because you have to find a way how you manage your Spacewalk system for itself, because you want to update it too, and you want to keep it in Zoom. With this release, with this new release, new features I added, it may be sometimes the strategy of the product may change a bit. Of course, there are plans to include Funk instead of OSAD for remote commands and Java. So maybe from one release and to another, you have to find an upgrade scenario that works for you. The next thing is you won't get enterprise support, at least from Red Hat, at least at what I know from now. Maybe in the future there are some small or even larger companies will give you enterprise SLAs for a Spacewalk tool. So you don't have the enterprise support, but you have the back end of the community. Spacewalk has a very vital and large community, which grows from day to day. And you can use a mailing list or ERC channel to communicate. Yeah, who develops this product? Red Hat is still the mainly responsible for the development of Spacewalk. But we already had a few cool contributions from the community. And as it's open, everyone is invited to take part in the product and to approve it. For example, at the moment it supports Fedora, CentOS, and RHEL. In the future, we are looking to support other distributions too. We have quite a workload support for Solaris because it's in satellite server, but we are looking for support for Debian. Some of the guys are still already working to support, to bring Debian support into Spacewalk. And other distributions are to come. So if you like the product, and if you want to help to improve it to support your distribution, because I know many of you do not use Fedora or CentOS, you are invited to help to improve it. The scripts and the infrastructure is already there. One of the future plans is to support PostgreSQL in the future. And that's the major lack Spacewalk has at the moment. At the moment, Spacewalk only supports Oracle as database engine. And as Oracle is a commercial project, you have either to decide if you buy it or to use the free version of it. It's called Oracle XE, but it's very limited. One of the limitations is that it has a 4 GB database limit. So at the moment, Spacewalk can either be used with a full-featured Oracle database, or you wait, or you just want to take a look at the product. I would suggest you to take a look at it, import things like CentOS because it don't take much space, and wait for help to get PostgreSQL support into it. Otherwise, you will get frustrated soon because a 4 GB database will be bloated with 2 or 3 Fedora releases. Then your Spacewalk has been gone. So, what we want you to do, we want you, well, where we are now, first I want to talk where we are now. We have a working software patch management system. All the components are shown are already functional, they work correctly, and as the satellite server for which Spacewalk is upstream is already a reliable enterprise product, these features are really proven. Some of them are new, but they work and they're proven. It also supports some kind of software and hardware inventory. That's very basic at the moment. Hopefully, that will be a part that will be extended. And what I am looking for is a bit more complex configuration management. At the moment, remote commands can only be executed manually. At least what I was looking for is to associate remote commands to config file deployments. So you can bound a remote command to config file deployment. It already supports KVM and Xen as guest systems, so you can easily provision in virtual environments too. And what can we do? What has the community already done in the past years? We have added an SE Linux auditing component. There are tools for Red Hat and Rutter cloning. Dark, who's sitting here, has developed a tool called mRepo, which may be used to fetch packages from upstream if you want to deploy Red Hat. So this works. We got tools for Iwata cloning. So you can fetch the Iwatas from Red Hat, or you can even import the CentOS audit mails to generate Iwatas for CentOS. We got nice mailing lists and ESCs, as mentioned before, and we got great documentation. The documentation is held on the project page of Fedora, and it's easy to edit it, as it's a wiki. You only need a FAST account to access it. Okay, I'm going to hold on here, and maybe you already have some questions. Otherwise, we're going to show you how it looks like. Please?
You said that you put the whole distribution in the database?
Yep. No. Yeah. No, not the whole distribution.
Not the packages.
The packages, not. But the meta information of the packages. And it loads so fast. As we got, how many packages do we got in Fedora right now? 16,000 packages, and the meta information of these packages bloats the database. We got environments with a database size of 30 gigabytes. Yep.
How does it cope with local configuration changes? Can you integrate them into your version repository?
Do you mean configuration file management or?
Local configuration changes.
Yeah, you can define files as locally managed or centralized managed. So if you define a file as locally managed, it is simply pulled from the machine and integrated in the configuration management. You can override it, but the locally managed file always got the higher writes. You can combine it with centrally managed files.
So you can't run a mixed configuration, you can only choose
no. You can mix
one
it.
Direction, or does it integrate your local changes too? For example, you provision an Apache configuration and
no.
Just want to do some local
does not integrate
changes.
It. You have to decide where to go. And that's one of the aspects of a centralized management, because what I want no more local changes on my machines. If so, I want to define these files to be locally managed. Otherwise, I do not need a centrally managed system. I don't want to go to the PC and fix it there, only if there's no other way, as the hardware is broken or something like that. Okay. Are there any other questions, please?
Is there any provisioning to integrate this solution with some external CMDB solution? That means configuration management database. You know, in the Nginx enterprise level, there are a lot of solutions which already provide configuration management database.
I don't know if this is possible at the current state.
Examples?
No,
in general.
I don't think so at the moment.
As a matter of fact, Facebook acts itself as a CMDB.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay, you want to combine it with another configuration. You can leave that component alone if you want to, of course, and simply use the other configuration management file for your configuration management. But it's not possible to plug in a configuration. That would be a really cool feature for the That's possible. You can export the configuration, at least the configuration files, and put it in a subversion tree or something like that. You can also import it from another configuration management tool. That's possible. And it already works. Okay, we got quite a low resolution here. So hopefully we will see a bit of the system. So this is how Spacewalk looks if you log in. Here you see your overview page. This is customizable. You can plug in your management tasks you want to see here. What we want to show you now is how you should set up or how you should go ahead and start a deployment process. First of all, I want to show you how to create an easy part, for example, how to create a system group. Sandro showed here. You select the system tabs, create a new group. Grouping is very important to manage your systems. So you have to think first before you act, as always. mostly. So you can here you can only give a group name and a group descriptions. You can associate this group with system administrators. One of the cool features of Spacewalk or even Satellite Server is that it's multi-organizational capable. So you can create multiple orgs within one installation and allow users to share at least channels between these orgs. This was one of the aspects which was very important in our scenario because we got many different departments which want to have their own infrastructures. You can grant access rights to the group, but we don't show here, to allow a single system administrator to only manage machines within this specific group. Next step, I want to show you the Kickstart profile wizard. Within the Kickstart profile wizard, you can create a new Kickstart profile from which you can provision your system. First of all, you give it a label, say what is the base channel. I have imported different channels before. I'll show you now a bit later. You select the Kickstarter tree, which has the kernel and the innerd, which should be loaded via PXC. And you could also select a virtualization type if you are provisioning a virtualized environment. That's the first step of the quite complex Kickstart wizard. You can give a root password here. Come a while later. Now we have created a new Kickstart profile. It's not the fastest machine. So here you see Kickstart profile details. At least a part of it. As our resolution is 800 as 600. Here you see the settings we have predefined before. You can add some actions. You can first of all you have to activate it, but it's defaults. You can log custom PostScript, so you want to monitor your provisioning process. This could be very helpful. You can preserve the chaos file, the configuration file, the Kickstart file itself. You can define organizational unit settings and kernel options here. Maybe we can scroll up a bit and take a look, for example, at the advanced options tab. Within the advanced options, you can define nearly every aspect that is available within a Kickstart file. You can define a network type. You can define the Kickstarter from. You can define partition layout, and so on, and so on. If you know how to kickstart well, or CentOS, or even Fedora system, you know which options could be set here. They are documented well, of course. Then, within the bare metal kickstart tab, you can pre-select IP ranges that should be booted automatically into these kickstart profiles. You can add single IP addresses or ranges. In order to do that, you have to set up a DHCP server that the PXE server, the integrated coupler PXE server, as next server, so it will boot from it. Scroll up a bit, please. Okay, maybe we could take a look at the software tab. Here you can define predefined packages which should be installed on the newly provisioned system. At the moment, we have a bare package selection. As you know, if you are familiar with Kickstart definitions, you can define groups, package groups, which are available with the add sign. You can add single packages. You can exclude packages with a minus sign. Everything you can do with a Kickstart file can be done here too. One of the important aspects is that a Kickstart profile has to be associated with activation keys. This is more historically, because Red Hat uses these activation keys for licensing. Here it has some different functions. So we can take a look at the activation keys tabs now and generate a new one. Simply give it a name. The key is automatically generated when you don't type in anything. You can select the base channel. And you can select the add-on entitlements. This is important if you want to use things like monitoring visualization. Now you can see the details of this newly created activation key. This activation key is associated to child channels and channels. So as you have seen before, the Kickstartable tree only allows you to define a base channel for the Kickstart. If you want to access these additional repositories, as we have added RPM Fusion, as we have added the tools repository, which contains the necessary tools that have to be installed on the client, you can select them here. You can also select packages that have to be installed after registration of the system to the Spacewalk server. Within the configuration tab, you can associate a configuration channel from which files should be deployed during Kickstart process. You can click the groups here, and you can now join. You can let the system automatically join the previously generated group. So, if you kickstart this system, this will also directly appear within the group, and you can manage it from there afterwards. Maybe we can take a look at the configuration file management. As always, you have to create a channel. The name is used in common places. We create an example configuration channel now. This configuration channel can now contain files. We can either edit a file directly within this editor, or we can simply upload a file. Maybe you can just have a simple file. You can define the user group context, and you also can define the SA-Linux context here, which may be very important if you activate SA-Linux on your systems, what I suggest. As you can see here, macros could be used. Macros are started with a delimiter and ended, which can be predefined here. You can take a look at the reference, which macros are supported at the moment. There are a lot of macros. You can use macros for host names, IP address as mentioned, and add custom key change to that. Yeah. We only get one revision right now. Maybe you can create a new revision of this file. You can still either upload it or edit it here.
Could you please create a new vision? So we want to know to which bar we are going tonight. And now we can change a div file, we can div it here from the GUI, we can also use command line utilities to do that. And now we can view the comparison. As you can see, finds the line which has changed, and you can easily revert changes if necessary. This newly created configuration channel could be associated with the Kickstart profile as a software channel before. Maybe we, with the activation key, so. Maybe we can just switch back to the activation key, open the activation key that we have created, and associate this configuration channel to this activation key. What does that mean? If you activate, the configuration file should be deployed during Kickstart process. The Kickstarted system already contains the packages here pre-selected, and it already contains the configuration files which are within this channel. So what you get is a completely configured system within one step. I personally don't know many other systems that can do things like that. Okay, what can we show more? Are there some components you want to see? We are quite limited as we cannot kickstart a demo client at the moment. Yeah, kickstart files can contain scripts, both pre-scripts, which will be executed in a defined state of the Kickstart process, and these scripts can also be added here. These scripts can include snippets. This is part of Cobbler, as Cobbler got a quite mighty snippet engine. We have some predefined snippets here. Maybe we can just open a snippet to take a look at it, maybe the snippet on network configuration. So you can see a snippet which contains something like a script that does something. We can predefine these snippets and easily reuse them in different Kickstart profiles. So once the work is done, it's done for all the Kickstart profiles, as we can create common scripts that can be reused. You can either use these scripts that are predefined, or you can define your own snippets in order to use them and associate them. A snippet can easily be added into a script in form of a syntax. Here you can see it. This calls the snippet, which we have seen before, within a PostScript, for example. You have to activate the templating engine in order to make it happen. Do you mean reconfigure in form of
change
your setting? You can. What you do is you create system groups. You have several similar systems. You can either select the system for itself, simply put the system into the system set manager, and manage it from there. Here's a system set manager. We don't have a registered system here, so we can't show it right now. But you can simply select one single system, manage it with the system set manager, or you can manage a group of systems and, for example, run a remote command or deploy configuration files, deploy water updates, schedule normal package installations, schedule updates or something like that. It will be tracked in the history of the system. Nearly every change that has been initialized from the GUI will be tracked in the history. So you can see if a system is provisioned successfully
what happens to during to the provisioning process. You can see if config file deployment was successful, and you can monitor it using the monitoring suite or something. Okay, do you have any more questions?
We have a client of things. Money, so transactions are cut off, but it repeats all the things.
That's quite hard. What you can do is you can register a client to the system. You can register and afterwards manage it within the system. What you can also do, you can create a similar kickstart file with a kickstart wizard. And if you want to reinstall it or reprovision the system, you can use this kickstart file to reinstall or reprovision it. And then you got a new system. Well, we already got this within our migration scenario. We already had a few systems that we have to register. It already has been installed because we got a working environment. And we simply register them there and let the admins create the kickstart file. Looks fine.
And also, you mentioned that the migration scenario is different from the Solaris support.
Yeah, but don't ask me about that. I don't know nothing. We have deactivated it. I personally do not use Solaris. But it has basic Solaris support, and there, you will find some documentation on that in the wiki, I guess.
What is used for monitoring?
Yeah, as mentioned before, Logpulse is used for monitoring. Logpulse was a proprietary tool from a firm called Logpulse, and it has been integrated into the system quite years ago. It has been integrated in satellites. What some of the engineers are thinking about is to switch to a more common tool, for example, Nadius or something like that. But that is one of the main cool aspects of this product, because it doesn't matter which config management tool is used in the backend. If they implement Nagios, for example, the user interface, I guess it will still look the same. Maybe some more options will come, but you will feel familiar with the user interface. That is very important for a normal administrator. Okay.
One last question. What about hardware pre-configuration?
What do you mean with hardware?
For example, we usually get systems where, which are just naked, where we have to configure it or change BIOS settings. Currently, we just boot a specific image with a script on it, which just do that, and then we do the normal provisioning.
I would do it simply the same way. I would add a single customized image, which I boot over Pixie, and let it do the script, and afterwards I would provision the system.
So it isn't implemented.
No, the snapshot and rollback functionality works on the software and configuration management section. You can rollback software changes and configuration changes. That's very important. Okay. Okay. One last question.
Is there any integration to the RPM configuration detection, so you can say, please show me all configuration files of the Apache package, and I want to edit those in the web interface, or is it just, okay, I'm gonna push etc.
It's simply in play. The configuration management is something that definitely could be extended. That's true. But at the moment, it's quite simple. Okay, I think we're finished now. Thanks for listening.